Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we have a great, great half hour here set up for you today. We have Miss Tia McCullers. How are you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing excellent.
Tia, you know, though, you get those days where you're just trying to get something to work on the system. And I would have called you.
Yeah.
I would have called you probably 5 minutes earlier, but it's like I was installing some new software and computer stuff, and oh Lord, it just took us by storm. And hey, at least we're on and we're running. So that's
right. That's okay. We're on now, so it's all good.
Yeah, and we're on time. We're getting a hold of you and just talking to you. Tia is a very successful author. Before we jump into her books and things like that, Tia, would you mind spending a few minutes and telling us about who you are and how you came to the Lord and stuff like that?
Sure. I was born and bred, I guess you'd say, in a little town called Somerville, North Carolina, which is outside of Greensboro, North Carolina. And I always say I wish I had some ravishing come to Jesus moment that I could share with you. But I've always been in the church that I grew up in, with my hometown church, of course, and all of my aunts, all of my uncles, all of my cousins. Everyone went to the same church. It was a family church. So we've always been people and a family of faith. But I will say that over the years, you know, you start off, and when you're first born, when you're a child, I think sometimes that your relationship with God is based off of your family's relationship with God or your parents' relationship with God. But I have definitely can say over the years that I have cultivated and grown. And as I personally gave my life, you know, back to God, even though I've done it at a young age, you know, I came back as after college and said, okay, Lord, I want to make sure that I came, you know, with the right heart, that it wasn't just something I was, you know, just repeating from rote memory, and gave my life to the Lord. And he has surely stood strong in my life, and I've been walking with him, I guess you can say, from the womb, and I'm so happy about it.
Amen. You know, a lot of times people go, I had one friend tell me on the air, she's like, I wish I had a testimony. Then she prayed that God will give her a testimony because she always was with the Lord. And then hell broke loose in her life.
I'm fine with the way I came. I am fine with the journey I have taken.
You know,
that's a testimony in and of itself, even to, you know, your grandmothers and everyone else who prayed that they would have a faith to a family. That itself is a testimony.
Oh, absolutely. For you to follow the Lord at since childhood. I mean, I'm with you there. I never had one of those testimonies where, oh, I had to find Jesus. No, Jesus was part of my life, my language, my acts, everything. So,
we
need more of that. We need more of that. We need people taught from early age. We need that family life at church. We need that growth. If you're not used to going to church, you're probably not going to go to church. You have to make yourself go and get used to it and understand that's a part of your DNA.
Right. It is. My son, he does not like to be church. If I have an event or if I have to leave to go out of town to minister, he has to make sure that he's going to be at church. So that's one of those things that, you know, I'm like, well, I'm happy. I can't even sleep. I can't have one of those sleepy days because he is for sure going to come and wake me up and make sure we're in the house of the Lord. So that's always a good thing.
Oh, yeah. That's always good. Now, have you always written, even in high school and in grammar school and even in college, have you always aspired to be an author?
Well, I did not aspire to be an author. I actually wanted to go into journalism. I so admired Connie Chung. I don't know if you remember Connie Chung, but I so admired Connie Chung. And so I went, I think I just had a liking to writing. I was always a good writer. And when I moved to Atlanta, one of the first things my grandmother brought me when she came to visit me was a box that had all of my certificates and report cards from kindergarten. And when I looked at them, they always had comments from my teachers like, Tia is such a great writer. You know, she's so creative. So I did not even realize at the time that even then God was cultivating that special gift in me, which is why I pay attention to the things that my kids are naturally gifted at. So I went to college actually to be a journalism major and thought I was going to be in front of the camera. But then, you know, things just took a turn. And I said, you know, I don't want to go that way. But it wasn't until 1999. I had been working in public relations and marketing, and I had gotten laid off from a job. I always tell people, you can only watch so many of those, you know, the judge show reruns before you say, okay, Lord, please show me what my purpose and my passion is for life. And it was during that time when I was laid off that he showed me he would marry my love of reading with my love of writing, because I was always a voracious reader, always loved to do that. And I loved the stories that I was reading, but I would not always find purely Christian or purely faith elements in those. So when he said he would marry those two, I said, okay, Lord, you know, let's go forward. And from that point, you know, of course, I eventually found a job, because you have to have a job sometimes to teach and to fund, help fund those dreams. But God has really shown himself faithful in the thing that he has shown me to do. And my first book actually came out in 2005. And so that's what I've been walking in since then.
Amen. And was it difficult to leave a successful job career that you already had? Where were you going anyway? I mean, what kind of career did you have before you started, jumped into it full time?
I was in public relations. I worked for a major university that's in the Atlanta area. And the thing about it is I loved my job. I loved the people there. My coworkers were the best. You know, you have a good job, pays a good salary, has great benefits. But then there was always a yearning. There was always an emptiness, and I would come home. And I would come home and just cry because I knew there was something bigger to my life. And so that was just a really difficult time. And it just so happened that before my book came out, I got married in November of 2004, and my book came out in January of 2005. And not much long after that, I had gotten pregnant. So I decided, so my husband and I made the decision, maybe you should, you know, just stay home with the baby, you get a chance to have, you know, have your writing career take off. So I think my having the baby was kind of like the breather and the out I needed for a while. Okay, I'm not going to go back to the job. And again, I turned in my notice in July of 2006, and I have not been back into the corporate world since then. But praise God to God, he sent provision in many ways as my career is living, because, you know, from my husband and things like that. So he's definitely been a supporter as well. So I did have that, you know, that's something to fall back on.
Oh, amen. Amen. Now, do you miss the camaraderie in the office atmosphere?
I do, but, you know, because writing can be so solitary. You know, it's just you and your computer.
I know.
and it's just like you're looking at that blank page like, really? This is really what's going on right now? But that's why I love to, you know, come on and do interviews, and I love to go to book signings and do events and meet people, because that's where, you know, I feel like I get filled up, because you pour so much out. But then you have, you know, readers who come and say, oh, I loved your book. That makes it all, you know, that makes it all worth it. Because being in public relations, you know, I'm the people person. That's what I do.
I'm
people all day, every day. So it's definitely been a change. So it's good for me to get out of the house. You know, my son, who I left the corporate arena for, just turned 8. I have a 6-year-old. She's about to turn 6, and I have a 10-month-old. So I need to talk to people above the age of 9 regular basis.
Absolutely. It doesn't feel like you're in a cave when you come out of your room after you've worked on your book. It's like
it does. It's like, oh, the lights are okay. The lights are still okay. People are still living their life outside. You know, you walk out or you go to the store. You're like, oh, people are actually doing things out here. But, you know, in the end, it's all worth it. You have to have the discipline to sit down and get it done. And that's part of the process.
Amen. Now, Tia, you've had several successful series on fictional books, correct?
Yes.
And you got a new one coming out, Friday Night Love, and it's from your Days of Grace series. This is book one. How many books do you plan in this series here?
Well, so far it's 3.
It's going to be 3?
So,
okay.
Friday Night Love, and my next one that comes out in October is Sunday Morning Song. Maybe I can do all 7 and hit every day of the week. I'm not sure. We'll see how that works out.
Amen. So tell us, what's the series about? I mean, do you need to get book 1 to get to book 2 and get to book 3, or is there something that you can just jump in on either part?
Well, you can jump in on either part, but it starts out with Friday Night Love. And should I go ahead and tell you a little bit about this book before?
Yeah, go ahead. Jump in.
Okay. Well, Friday Night Love is the story of Roman and Zinja Maxwell. And basically, their marriage is hanging by a thread thanks to Roman's infidelity. It was hanging by this thread, and Zinja, she has the scissors. She's done. She's ready to cut this off. And she actually puts her husband out of the house when she finds out that he had cheated on her. You know, a one-time thing. They were, you know, in a marriage, but they were not tending to their marriage as they should. You know, he had his life, his thing that he was doing. She had her job, her career, her life, and her kids. And they just weren't tending to the marriage like they should. And so they were basically growing apart. So he had an episode where he cheated. She put him out. And when the book, as chapter 1 opens, he has come back home, and he has said, you know what? I want my wife back. I want my family back, and I'm not leaving until it's done. Now, it's been a year has passed, and at this point, you know, she has sent him the divorce papers, and he comes back with the divorce papers, and he's decided he's not signing it. Mm. It's not time for him to, you know, that's not the way that God would have him to go. So Friday Night Love is basically about the rebuilding of their marriage, because Vinda, she's mad. She's mad because he did this to her in the first place, but then she's even madder because her heart is saying, yes, you can be with him. You know, she doesn't, it's conflicting feelings because someone that has hurt you so much, you still love them so much. So it's just the rebuilding of their marriage and letting God bind their marriage back, you know, to a threefold cord. And basically, Roman discovers that everything he ever wanted, he already had.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I mean, yes. that's a lot for someone to take in as well, because I bet there's a lot of readers out there that may not have the same situation, but something similar or something, some jealousy, some angers as well. I'm reading your press kit, and one of the compliments said this could easily be named the book of having a great marriage. How to have a great marriage. It could be a manual for that.
Well, that's great. I definitely try to make sure I instill some godly principles throughout the book, because I always tell people we can say what we would and what we would and would not do, but you never know until you have to walk in those shoes. Because I mean, I'm quick to say if my husband cheated on me, that's a deal breaker. I'm out of here. You know, but talk is cheap. You know, sometimes you have to lay it on the line. So, it was my prayer that this book can be a healing to marriages, and even the subsequent book, which comes after this Sunday morning song, you continue to see some of the same characters, but it's a different couple who takes the front of the stage. And it's Quinn Montgomery, who is dealing with leaving her husband. He's actually in jail now because of a domestic violence and domestic abuse that had been put on her for years. So some time has passed, and another man has come into her life, and so she's having to deal with finding love again, and how do you deal with that when you have a past? So, both of the books, I hope, will be a blessing.
Amen. Now, is something that you decided early when you start writing this book, you're going to deal with the relationships and marriage?
Yep, I did. Because you see so many relationships that are suffering, and, you know, women, and sometimes men who are suffering in silence over certain issues. And I believe, with Friday Night Love specifically, I would always see how women who decided to stand by their men after acts of infidelity were often criticized. But I didn't think that was always fair, because you never know the entire story. Even if the person wasn't a repeat offender, sometimes you say, okay, the person's a repeat offender, if the man or the woman would stand behind them, people might have something to say. But I just wanted to say, you know, that's not fair, because no one ever knows the whole story. And so I just wanted to show, okay, what if the wife or the husband, because there are some women who commit adultery, what if they want to stay with their spouse? You know, what would their story be? I wanted to see those relationships healed, and I wanted to see that the relationships with, you know, women who had endured domestic abuse, and how would that feel, you know, finding love again? And above all, keeping God in the center of it, and having that accountability around you to help you keep God at the center of it.
You know, I'm just thinking that with all the novels that are out there, there's plenty of novels with scandal and with sexual relationships and with cheating spouses and whatever, but not really many of them try and keep them together in this thing, and not many of them add godly principles. So you're going to be helping some people that constantly like reading those kind of novels as well, and they're going to hit this and say, wow, I like it.
Right. I hope so. And it's not that just because Vivica comes back and says she's going to work it out, it doesn't mean the walk is easy. And I always tell people, even after you have turned the last page, that doesn't mean this story is over. You know, life moves on, and you have to come against other challenges in order to be able to grow. So there could still be more with Zinger and Roman in the future.
Well, that's amazing. Now, tell us about your scriptural theme for this book. What is your scriptural theme?
My scriptural theme from this book came out of Ephesians 6:33, and it talks about that the husband, actually I have it, I can read it, it says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And so I thought, okay, well, the husband is to love his wife, and the wife is to respect her husband. So I actually took the word respect, and I broke it down for Avenger. because what happens in this book is they begin to go to a couple's outing, which is on Friday night, and the couple's outing is called Friday Night Love. And when they are there, they are hit with several challenges. They're asked, the women in particular are asked to respect their husband, and the lady who's over issues these seven challenges to the ladies as far as respecting your husband. And then she comes in, she's like, why should I be doing this? First of all, my husband cheated on me. He should be the one doing these challenges. But nevertheless, she jumps in, and based on Ephesians 5 and 33, they give her these challenges. And one of them for the R, for the respect, is to respond to his needs. Now, in the book, it's things that she has to do for her husband. But in real life, I say these are reciprocal acts of respect that a husband and wife can give for each other. So as I talk, I'll say respond to his or her needs. That's the R for the respect. The E is to encourage him or her. 3, the S is to show your love for him or her in creative ways. T, put him or her first. E, expect the best out of your spouse. C, cherish your time with your spouse. And T, talk highly of your spouse to other people. So those are the things that Linda's having to walk through as she has to respect her husband.
That's a lot to ask from someone that had to go through that situation. And
Right.
And did when you were putting these characters together, was there something that just drawn to you to make? How did you make the main character, the woman, on this one? I mean, was someone that's just strong and bold, or is she timid and shy?
Well, I think she's strong. You know, she's strong and bold. She's strong and bold, but she has her weaknesses, like every woman does. And I think any and every woman can relate. You know, sometimes, you know how you say, you're being tossed to and fro, you're feeling unstable and you're feeling double-minded. You know, sometimes those things carry over. So she had to have accountability through a friend. So even though there are times when she feels kind of wishy-washy, she has an accountable friend who says, girl, you know, I'm here with you. Because sometimes women go through these wishy-washy phases. You know, we're trying to figure things out. So, yes, even though she's strong. I always tell people, my friends, my closest girlfriends, you know, because you're my close friends, you're bound to find yourself in the book sooner or later. So even though I might not take their story particularly, you know, I have bits and pieces of myself and even my friends in the book. And I always tell people, one of the ways that God speaks to me is through my writing. So I found that even while writing this, there were these seven steps through respect. Those are the things I need to do better with in my own marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like God illuminated those things and said, okay, well, since you're writing about it, how about you work on those things? So even now, you know, I'm walking through these, you know, my own. I'm like, oh, yeah, check. I need help with that one. Check. I need help with that one, too. So, you know, God has certainly shown, you know, me myself through the writing of this book.
That's amazing. Now, did you have to do a lot of research? And how did you come up with the Friday Night Love meetings?
Well, Friday Night Love was actually something that my church used to do. Except they didn't issue us any challenges. It was just the time for the married couples to come together with each other in fellowship. You know, we'd have a band or we'd have food because, you know, anytime you get married couples together, you have to have food there if you want the man to come. So we'd have food and just to get together in fellowship. So that's where the name Friday Night Love came into play. And I just expanded it by making it something that the couples in the book did every Friday.
So that's good. That's good. So you took some things from life that you've gone and seen and put it in there. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
That's neat. Now tell us about the rest of the series that you have.
Well, the next book is Sunday Morning Song, and it's the story of Quinn Montgomery. And Quinn Montgomery is facing, she has left her husband, actually divorced her husband, because she's been in an abusive relationship for all these years. She has a son named Devin, and the last thing that she wants to have is for this to be a repeat cycle, a generational cycle. She needs to get out for herself, and she finds that she needs to get out with her husband. So when the time comes when she's finally able to leave, because he had almost killed her, and it was her son who had saved her. And 2 years later, she has moved from Charlotte, North Carolina, to Greensboro, North Carolina, and she's been rebuilding her world. One day she's headed to pick up her son from football practice, and she's speeding down the highway, and she gets pulled over by Officer Levi Gray. And Levi Gray says that he finds an immediate attraction to her, even though, you know, he writes her a warning ticket and lets her go her way. But their paths cross again. And Levi soon realizes that when he used to live in Charlotte, he was there the night that she almost died because she came to the house and her son had called the police. So he just develops in his heart a liking towards her, and he asked God to show him how to give her a new Sunday, because Quinn had shared that on Sundays her abuse was always the worst. And every morning her ex-husband would play Amazing Grace. He would play the same song every morning. But then in the afternoon, he would come home and he would abuse her. And so Levi has said he wants to give her, he asked God to give Quinn a new Sunday morning song for her heart. So that's that story. And I have to admit that my next book is Monday Something. We have not finalized the title.
Hey, Monday Madness. How about Madness?
Yeah, exactly. It should be Monday Madness. So we haven't finalized the title for that. But again, that is a story on relationships and to people who have, you know, never been married before. So that's, you know, for the singles. And they're coming together to build a relationship. But I don't have all the details. That's still in the back of my head processing.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's when I sit and write that now.
Awesome. Do you have any advice you can give some of the listeners that do want to write and feel called to write for the Lord or just write something? Anything that helps you that could help them?
Yes. I tell people, writers write. It seems so simple, but it's true. Writers sit down and write. Most of the time people say, when they say they want to write a book, they sit down or they don't sit down. They just talk about wanting to write a book, or they talk about the process of writing a book, or they'll jump to publishing. How do you get a publishing deal? I said, well, publishers don't publish blank pages. You have to have something to write. So you have to have the discipline to sit down. And even if you can't write every other day, you can say, I'm going to write on Tuesdays and Thursdays before work, or I'm going to write on Wednesdays and Fridays during lunchtime, because books are built sentence by sentence, page by page. People say, how do you sit down and write a book? I don't sit down and write a book. I sit down and write three chapters, or I sit down and write two sentences. I said, if you can promise yourself that you will write one word a day and you write two words a day, you have doubled your commitment, and that is a goal. So even if you have to write two words a day, it's just, you just write until the story is out, and then you go back and fix it. A lot of times people get stuck because they write a little bit. They have to feel like they have to go back and perfect it. But you have to just kind of get it all out on the page.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Do it right the first time. You know, we don't like, brain surgeons, they don't have the luxury to do it wrong the first time. We have the luxury to do it wrong the first time, so we can go back and fix what's been done. So just get it all out, discipline yourself to write, and then you'll have something to work with.
Amen. Well, tell everybody how they can contact you via Facebook or website, and then also tell them how they can get your book.
Sure. You can find me on almost any social media. You can go on Facebook and find me under Fans of Tia. You can go to my website, TiaWrites.com, www.TiaWrites, TiaWrites.com, and on Twitter at Tia McCullers. Now, McCullers is spelled McCollors, like the colors of the rainbow, but with two L's is what I tell people. And my book can be found in your favorite bookstores online. You can be found on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, ChristianBooks.com. You can also go to Whitaker House's website, who is my publisher, WhitakerHouse.com, WhitakerHouse.com, and you should be able to find the book in whatever format you desire.
Amen. Give me your contact information one more time, sister.
Sure. Tia McCullers is www.TiaWrites.com, TiaWrites. You can find me on Twitter at Tia McCullers, on Facebook at Fans of Tia. And you can even find me on YouTube, I believe, on Tia McCullers. That's my channel.
Awesome. Awesome. Sister, I'll be seeing you at the ICRS.
I'll
be out there. You're going to be doing a video interview with me over there. So we're going to have a good one then.
This is
good here. You're going to have a copy. I'll get Kathy to get that over to you. But thank you so much for being a blessing on the air.
Thank you.
And thank you for taking the time. We always love Whitaker Authors here, and we always put you on as soon as we can. So it's always good to promote you, because I know God's going to bless you. And in doing that, God will bless us as well.
Amen. Amen.
All right. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day, okay?
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Amen. That was a great, great interview. I hope you enjoyed it. We just had a lot of feedback and of people wanting more of the authors that we've been bringing on Tuesdays. And it happens to be that Tuesdays is our Whitaker Day, and we've had some good authors. Usually, it's always getting someone in here that really wants to talk about faith, and we'll talk about their book. I have no problem talking about their book. We're going to promote it. I tell everybody this: the first 10 to 15 minutes, we want to get to know you, and then the last 10 to 15 minutes, we just want to talk about your book and how you wrote it, and everything else, because you know that's important. We want people to know that. We want to promote the book, but I want people to know Tia. I want them to know the authors when they come in. I want them to know their heart, their love. And you can tell she loves the Lord. There's nothing, absolutely nothing that will separate her from what God is doing in her life. She is in love with God and her children as well. And she is growing in faith and putting books out to help others out there and to be a blessing. So it's always good to have someone on the air like that loves to share their story. Anyway, that was Tia McCullers and her book, Friday Night Love, available everywhere books are sold. You can also visit your local Christian bookstore, and you can go online to Amazon, Barnes Noble, anywhere you want. And I tell you what, God is good and will continue to bless you as you open up your heart and allow him to be a blessing to you. And to just be a part of whatever you can. Be a blessing to whoever you can, when you can, and know that God is always, always, always going to give you what you need. And if you just seek him and serve him, he'll do the great things. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Again, that's P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Our prayer line number is 888-642-4767. Email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. We'll see you next week, my friends. God bless you. Actually, no, we'll see you this week. We have a show on Thursday. Who do we have on Thursday? I believe we have someone that is going to be doing I have it right here on my calendar. Give me 1 second. I can open up my calendar, and I will tell you who we have on there. There is a live stream concert going on, and that's going to be with Phil Kagi. And my guest is James Brookhart. James Brookhart on this Thursday. We're going to tell you about it, tell you how you can tune in and listen to this one-time this first amazing concert they're putting together, and why they're putting it together, and how many more concerts they're going to do after this. Anyway, join us on this Thursday at 11 o'clock. All right, God bless. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch, my friends. And again, we're just getting all our equipment running around. We changed our servers, and since then, we have been really moving things. I had to bring an extra computer because my main computer keeps going out. I have no idea why, but we'll get it all solved. God bless you. Again, email me, david@revmedianetwork.com.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.